And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, We're All Human, was written by Joseph Mindell.
I will tell you how it begins one day, with ancient words that leap to the mind uncalled and linger, deeply remembered. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Bus stop, it's a short walk every day, every weekday, through early morning streets, past people grown familiar.
Good morning, Mr. Terrell.
A pleasant walk with time to stop for early morning greetings.
What are you looking at there, Mr. Terrell? The school?
It's a handsome building, Lincoln High School.
You said that yesterday.
Did I?
And the day before. If you don't mind me saying it, I don't know how you do it.
Do what?
Well, you've been a teacher a long time.
Yes, 15 years.
You teach the same things over and over, year after year. I don't know how you do it.
It's not the same at all. It's different all the time. The boys and girls are always different, don't you see?
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, I keep you in business, don't I? How many of mine you had already? Five, huh?
That's right.
I got two more in junior high. They'll come to you soon.
I'll be waiting. Oh, excuse me, there's a boy I want to talk to. Leo! Leo, wait for me.
Well, hi, Mr. Jarrell.
That was a nice game you played yesterday against Central High.
Yeah. Well, except that last foul shot.
Don't let it worry you, Leo. Everybody misses sometime.
That basket would have meant the game.
Next year when we play them, you won't miss.
I won't be playing next year.
Oh, of course you will. You're only a junior now.
That's right, but I won't be playing.
Leo, well, maybe you'll change your mind.
Yeah, maybe.
What's wrong with your cheek, Leo?
Nothing's wrong, Mr. Jarrell.
I mean the bandage.
Oh, there was, kind of an argument.
I see. And that's how you settled it?
I don't think it was settled. There's the bell, Mr. Jarrell. Was there anything else?
No, you go on in. I'll see you later in class. As we learned yesterday, the Constitutional Convention met in Philadelphia in secret session, behind closed doors. Madison believed that this made it possible to work out the compromises that established the new government on a firm basis. Well, now, what was one of these compromises? Ed? Ed Mason.
Yes, sir. Present.
Are you? Well, never mind. You answer, Frankie.
I'm sorry, would you mind repeating the question?
Oh, I'd give up.
Is something wrong, Mr. Jarrell?
Something wrong? I don't think one of you in the whole class was listening to me. And it's been like that with every class.
Well,
I must be losing my touch.
It's not you, Mr. Jarrell.
Oh, thank you, Ed. That's reassuring. Now, will somebody tell me what's wrong?
I guess it's the game. Yesterday's game.
Yeah, Laura's right, Mr. Jarrell. That's what it is.
Lincoln loses a basketball game to Central High School and look at you.
That was a pretty important game.
That's right. And maybe we didn't have to lose it.
Now, what's that supposed to mean, Frankie?
Leo, you don't have to defend yourself.
Please, Laura, stay out of this. I asked you a question, Frankie.
I heard you. We all saw the game, especially that last foul shot.
Lay off him, Frankie. Leo feels bad enough as it is.
That's tough, Ed. We all feel bad about losing that game.
I think we ought to go on with the lesson.
Yeah, sure. What was that question again, Mr. Jarrell?
Your sudden thirst for learning is a little suspicious, Ed.
Who, me?
There's something I'd like to know. Ed, you're wearing a bandage, too, like Leo. Were you the one Leo had the argument with?
Oh, no, nothing like that.
No? What was it like?
It didn't happen in school, Mr. Jarrell.
Oh, I suppose that makes it none of my business. But tell me anyhow.
Well, it was after the game. Me and Leo, a couple of others, some fellas from Central High. It wasn't much of a fight.
You didn't even have to get in it, Ed. It didn't concern you.
What do you mean, Frankie? Leo's my friend.
Yeah? For my money, you can have Leopold Zvetnovich.
You rotten...
Leo, Frankie. Now sit down, both of you. Wait a minute. Before you go to your next class, there's something I want to say. The game is over. You've talked about it. Let this be the end of it. Now, tomorrow, let's have a history lesson. All right, you can go now.
Mr. Jarrell, that's pretty important about the Constitutional Convention, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is, Laura.
I mean, it could be on the final exam, couldn't
it? You take that back. Who's going to make me? You way
out. Stop it. Stop it, you two. What's the matter with you? Leo.
Come on.
Leo.
Come
on. Let go of him, Leo.
He can't say that to me.
What did he say, Leo? What did Frankie say?
Now, why don't you tell him?
You'll have your chance to talk, Frankie. Well, Leo?
He said Leopold Svietnovich.
But, well, that's your name.
That's not what he meant. The way he said it, I know what he meant.
Mind if Laura and I walk part of the way home with you, Leo?
Thanks, Ed, but I don't need any protection.
Oh, of course not.
Ed, look.
I wasn't thinking of that at all. Why should you need protection?
Ed, it's Frankie with all his friends.
You walking Laura home, Ed?
Leo is with us, Frankie. You two go on ahead. Leo and I, we want to talk, don't we, Leo?
Leo is coming with us.
Now, Laura, be sensible and go on home.
I'm staying right here, Frankie Gibbs.
Oh, girls. All right, fellas. Maybe next time he won't be hiding behind a skirt.
You got anything to say, Frankie? Just say it.
I've got plenty to say, Leo. But I'll tell you only some of it now. There's a bus from school. From now on, you better take it. You better not be walking in these streets.
You talk big, Frankie, with your whole club in back of you. You'd talk different if I had my friends here.
You think so? Bring them around. We're always ready to have a little talk with the Fifth Street boys.
Maybe we'll do that.
What are you trying to do, all of you, with your clubs and your fancy jackets with the silly names on the back? Panthers, Warhawks, Fifth Street Demons. What are you trying to do?
You want to hurry to leave today, Mr. Jarrell?
Well, Ed, I was... Oh, no, I have plenty of time.
Well, Laura and I, we wanted to talk to you about something.
All right. Let's sit down.
Well it's about... I was thinking... Go on, Ed.
Well, it doesn't make sense, Mr. Jarrell. I mean, suppose a guy comes up to me and says, Edward Mason. I think he's crazy. But if somebody does the same to Leo, he gets fighting mad. And I understand just how he feels.
First, I thought it was the game. You know, Leo missing the basket and everybody being disappointed. But that's not what it is at all. The game was only like a trigger that started everything. But lots of other things could have been a trigger, too. Do you know what I mean, Mr. Gerald?
I know what you mean, Laura.
There's going to be trouble. Frankie's club, Leo's club, other kids in the school.
Oh, not only in this school. That fight after the game with the fellows from Central High, it was the same thing. It's the same all over the city.
Mr. Gerald, somebody has to tell them that it's wrong.
Laura, you can't do it simply by telling people that they're prejudiced. Just as you can't tell someone that, well, that a poem is beautiful. You have to feel it.
Well, we have an idea, Mr. Gerald, only we need some help.
Well, I'll do what I can, Ed. What's your idea?
Well, take Frankie. He doesn't even see Leo. I mean, really see him as a person. They never really talk to each other.
We thought we might have a meeting with Frankie and Leo. Other kids from Lincoln High, from all the other high schools, could come together and talk to each other.
Hey, that sounds good. What do you think you ought to talk about?
Well, Laura thinks it should be about prejudice and tolerance.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, sure it is. But there are other problems, like with parents and, I hope you don't mind, Mr. Gerald, with teachers, too. I mean, we're all human, aren't we?
We're all human. It's a wonderful discovery to make.
Hi, Mr. Gerald.
Oh, how are you, Frankie?
Would you mind repeating the question? The one about the secret sessions in Philadelphia?
Oh, he was listening after all. Now, let's see. What was that number again? 423. Oh, here it is. How do you do? My name is Gerald.
Oh, you are Leo's teacher, yes? Well, come in.
Oh, thank you.
You sit down, please.
Mrs. Svetnevich, I want to talk to you about Leo.
My Leo is a good boy.
Oh, yes, he is, Mrs. Svetnevich. He wasn't in school today.
What for he should go? They should call him names, fight with him.
You mustn't think that all the boys and girls in the school feel that way.
Oh, maybe not. He's all right then, huh? Sure. He's all right if only some spit on Leo because his mother, his father don't speak so good English.
No, it's not all right. But Mrs. Svetnevich, running away, that's no good.
I know this thing. I know it on the other side. I learn it here now. You can do nothing.
Now, listen to me. You tell Leo to come to school tomorrow. We're going to do something about it. The teachers, boys and girls in the schools, we're going to do something about it. Mrs. Svetnevich, you tell that to Leo.
Sure. Go ahead and hold your meeting, Ed.
We want you to be there, Leo.
What for? You don't need me.
It's your problem, too.
You keep talking about problems. Look, this is me, Leo Svetnevich. I don't bother anybody. If there's any problems, I didn't make them.
Leo, don't you belong to one of those fancy jacket clubs?
What if I do, Laura? I got friends, too.
You talk as if, I don't know, as if friends are only to back you up in a fight.
What's wrong with that? Am I supposed to walk in the street alone to make it easier for Frankie and his gang?
Don't you see, Leo, that there don't have to be gangs.
Yeah, I know. Tell that to the other guys.
We will, Leo, only now we're telling you. But what do you got to lose? Just come and talk things over.
I haven't got anything to say, Ed.
Then come and listen. What are you so suspicious about? You know me and Laura.
Oh, all right, quit nagging.
Then you'll come to the meeting?
I said I would, didn't I? Not that your meeting will do any good.
Bring your friends, too.
They don't go to Lincoln High.
It doesn't matter. This is for all the high schools.
You know why it won't do any good? Because you'll never get Frankie to your meeting.
What is this, an armistice commission?
That's not funny.
Maybe not, Ed. But maybe it makes more sense than this meeting idea. A bunch of guys talking.
Girls, too.
Especially girls. There's nothing to talk about. If they stay where they belong, we don't bother them.
Who are you to decide where anybody belongs?
You're nice guys, both of you. I don't want to argue with you. Just tell me this. Who started that rumble a couple of weeks ago when they came around and the window of my father's store got broken? Yeah, tell me that.
These things are complicated, Frankie. They get so mixed up after a while you can't say who started what.
Sure, they're too complicated to talk about. I'll take care of things my way.
You're afraid, Frankie Gibbs. That's what it is.
Well, you can't make me mad, Laura Hillman.
You're afraid to come out and talk to other people because maybe you'll have to give up some of your precious ideas, some of your prejudices.
Well, you're really trying to make me mad, aren't you?
A person wants to do something decent and some people won't even listen.
All right, all right. I'll come to your meeting. But don't think it's because you got weepy.
I am not weepy.
And don't think I'm going to change my mind about those... Well, just don't think I'll change my mind.
Will you quiet down for Pete's sake?
Come on, hold it down, fellas.
Hey, you elected me chairman, didn't you? I'm going to run this meeting right. Only one person talks at a time, and let's stick to the point. Now, this is supposed to be a discussion about family problems. All right, Frankie, you were talking.
I was saying about going out on Saturday night. Now, I have to be in by 12:30, and
Oh, you're lucky. I have to be home by 11.
Order, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ed.
Maybe 12:30 is a little early, but I guess parents feel they just have to make a deadline. All right. But when you get home, they want to know where you were and what you did. Holy mackerel!
Hey, with my mother, it's a regular third degree. Boy, the question she asked.
Leo's right. It's just like a third degree, as if they didn't trust us.
Yeah, well, what I say is, if they don't trust us in the first place, then how can they believe what we tell them?
Sure, like Leo says, they gotta...
Go on, Frankie. They gotta what?
Nothing.
Mr. Chairman...
You want to say something, Mr. Gerald?
Well, I only wanted to say that it seems to be something of a shock to Frankie and Leo to find that they agree with each other. But after all, as somebody once said, we're all human, aren't we?
For getting this gavel. I'll need it, too. My voice isn't as strong as Ed Mason's. The discussion group on interracial and interreligious relations is hereby called to order. The floor is open. Well, doesn't anybody have anything to say?
Yeah. Why doesn't somebody get up and give us all the answers?
Frankie... Today we heard a professor from the university tell us the facts about races and nationalities. We heard a priest from the Catholic seminary and a rabbi and a minister. Maybe we heard some of the answers.
You're only kidding yourself, Laura. People are different. There's no use making believe they're all the same.
Well, of course they're different. That doesn't mean they're not all entitled to the same rights.
Can I say something?
Of course, Leo.
I heard a lot today about rights and democracy and in brotherhood. I want to tell you something that happened last summer. I went down for a job to a place that advertised in the paper. I went with Billy Thompson. You know Billy.
Yeah, I know.
Funny thing. I got the job. He didn't.
Well, maybe you were right for it, Leo, and he wasn't.
How would the boss know? He didn't ask us anything. He just looked. He looked at the color of Billy's skin. Now, what do you call that? Democracy? Brotherhood?
You know what I think, Leo.
I'm asking Frankie.
There are a lot of angles to consider.
I'm asking you straight out, Frankie.
No. I don't call that right.
Some people, they don't ask me anything either. They just look at my name.
You know, I've been thinking.
That's news.
What are you laughing at?
Never mind, Ed. Tell us what you were thinking.
Now, maybe before we start looking for answers, maybe we ought to ask some questions.
What do you mean?
I mean the kind of questions you ask yourself, like, how do I really feel about people who are different from me? Like, what's the use of talking about democracy and brotherhood if all you do is talk about them?
Say, Mr. Gerald, you got a few minutes?
Sure.
That was a pretty big meeting the other day, huh?
150 boys and girls from all the high schools in the city.
Well, what kind of mischief are they up to now?
It's a funny thing to say. Why should they think they're up to mischief?
You forget. I got 7 kids of my own. I'm a pessimist.
That's interesting. I have about 120 every year, and I think of myself as an optimist.
Yeah, well, you got them in school where they behave themselves.
Oh, do they?
Now me, I have my troubles with them out here in the street. Did you know they broke my store window a couple of weeks ago? Of course, they were the hoodlums from Fifth Street, you know, the foreign element. What, did I say something wrong?
You wanted to know about the meeting.
Yeah, I almost forgot. Yeah.
They asked a lot of questions, and then they decided to form a permanent organization. Junior Roundtable, they called it.
Just to ask questions, huh?
And look for answers.
Or something like homework.
Homework, schoolwork, work for everybody in the whole city. You know, they may even come to you with their questions.
Me? I can't help them.
Maybe not. Maybe they can help you. Now, there's the bell. So, I'm an optimist. I wonder why. After 15 years and how many thousand boys and girls? Maybe it's because they're young. And you can see how they change almost before your eyes. Well, time to go in.
That's a second bell, Leo. Come on.
Oh, wait a minute, Leo. I want to talk to you.
What for, Frankie?
We'll be late to class if you don't hurt.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll see you later.
Don't go away, Ed. What I have to say to Leo, it's not private.
Well?
There's talk you're not going to play basketball next year.
Well, what's it to you?
Nothing. Only, you're the best player on the team.
Yeah, you'd like to see me play so you can ride me, you and your friends.
We heard a lot of talk the other day, Leo. All of us. I didn't hear anything that says I have to like you.
Now, come on, Ed, let's go.
Oh, wait. I'm not finished. There's something else I didn't hear. That anybody can stop a guy from playing ball if he wants to.
What do you mean, Frankie?
For Pete's sake, do I have to spell it out for you?
No, I guess not.
And that bus from school. You can take it or you can walk for all I care. It's up to you.
Yeah, it is up to me.
About next year, Leo. Are you going to play?
I'll think about it, Frankie. I'll think about it.
I'll tell you what I think. I remember the words of the commandment, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart, nor bear any grudge against the children of the people." I see the sons and daughters of the people in a world shaped by other hands than theirs. And I think that if the fathers have eaten sour grapes, still there is hope for the children.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Louis Webster Jones, president of the National Conference of Christians and Jews. Dr. Jones.
As this story eloquently illustrates, there's a tremendous need today for communication between people, and particularly between people of different groups, different religions, different races, and different intellectual and cultural backgrounds. People often say that talk is cheap, but actually it isn't. To get people to talk to other people and to share their thinking and feelings is one of the most important problems in the world today. All of us, as individuals and as groups, tend to isolate ourselves from one another. We tend to become parochial and isolationist in our views. And this isolation, this separation from our fellow human beings, tends to build insecurity and distrust and often hostility between us. All too often, deep-seated prejudice and sometimes even acts of violence result. The story you have just heard suggests that one answer to the distrust and hostilities which breed such prejudices and violence is to bring young people together and get them, frankly, to discuss these problems. It seems to me that this thesis is eminently sound. I am proud to say that the organization with which I am associated, the National Conference of Christians and Jews, each year sponsors hundreds of such meetings of young people across the country, ranging from one-day institutes and conferences to week-long summer camp sessions, which bring together young people of different races, creeds, and cultural backgrounds and provide them with an opportunity to learn through living about the basic principles of brotherhood. The Judeo-Christian teaching, expressed in both the Old and New Testaments, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, is still the most profound and revolutionary idea in the world today. And every one of us, who is a Christian or a Jew, must do more than simply pay lip service to this teaching. We must strive with all our strength and energy to make the brotherhood of man, under the fatherhood of God, a living reality in our daily lives. We must take this sacred teaching as a total and complete way of life. Only to the extent that we do this can our democracy become in truth one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. Our Eternal Light drama today, We're All Human, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Ronald Liss as Leos Vietnovich, Jack Grimes as Ed Mason, Patsy Bruter was Laura Hillman, Robert Hastings played Frankie, Maurice Tarplin played the man, Vina Rayburn was Mrs. Vietnovich, and Mr. Gerald, the teacher, was played by Norman Rose. This is Lionel Rico speaking. Our program is directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.